Welcome to Turnbuckle Trash, everyone. Before we really get started, we want to recognize that there have been four professional wrestlers who have passed away since our last podcast. We've received word of the death of WWE Hall of Famer Nikolai Volkoff, apparently of a heart attack. Also, regional competitor Brickhouse Brown did a lot of work for Texas Championship Wrestling, also for Memphis Championship Wrestling, the CWSAA Wrestling. He passed away at the age of 57, reportedly from a battle with cancer. We've all heard the news that Brian Christopher, Grandmaster 6A, did pass away also. There is some question about his death, which was in a jail cell in Memphis, Tennessee. Reports coming out today that Jerry Lawler and his lawyers are questioning whether it was a suicide or what. So they're asking for more information about that. And then today, you probably will hear more about this later in the podcast. We received word while we're recording that the great Jim the Anvil Neidhart also passed away at the age of 63. So today, we give the 10 bell salute to these fallen competitors.
TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Boy, do we have a loaded show for you today. We will be joined by one of the great people in independent wrestling scene right now. He's an up-and-comer. He's a manager. He is the heel. That is the MK Bandit. We'll also discuss SummerSlam, Slammiversary, some of the news and information from the last couple of weeks of professional wrestling. And we are joined by a familiar voice.
Guess who?
All coming up in this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to this episode of Turnbuckle Trash. You are currently on with Dr. Dave Denton, myself, Zane, and the newest appointed federal director of athletic competition overseeing all of sports entertainment activities for the United States government, and that is the one, the only, the true heel, the MK Bandit.
Great introduction. Thank you.
So you got to tell us real quick, how did you get to be appointed as the federal director of athletic competition overseeing all sports entertainment activities?
Well, you know, the president of the United States is a pro wrestling fan. He was in WrestleMania. He saw, you know, he saw what I was doing, and he figured that, you know, the pro wrestling world needed someone to govern over all sports entertainment. So he called me up and I accepted the appointment. Well, yeah, that's the kayfabe story. The shoot story is this. Tommy Dreamer saw what I was doing, invited me to a House of Hardcore show, and pretty much came up with the character. My normal character is the evil attorney that screws people over. He kind of saw that and kind of morphed that with Cyrus and kind of a little bit of Fonzie in there. And the character just kept growing and growing. I was only supposed to do two shows. and it just kept growing and growing and growing until, you know, I got a full-time gig with House of Hardcore.
Wow. Well, so Dave, I know you had some questions for MK, and he led us right into that with House of Hardcore, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when you first started with Tommy Dreamer and the House of Hardcore, you'd put on your Facebook page how excited you were, and what was that experience to walk into that arena that first time?
Well, it was intimidating. I mean, you know, I had done only indie shows, you know, up until that. And my first show was actually in Freehold, New Jersey. And so I wasn't sure what to expect. And I walked in there with one of my friends. Tommy came up to me and said, go in the back. We'll talk to you later. We'll set something up for you. I said, okay, thank you, sir. You know, went in the back, shook everybody's hands. And, you know, you walk in there, there's pretty much, you know, the old ECW locker room plus some, you know, and that's pretty intimidating. So I just kept my head down, and Tommy comes over to me and says, you know, here's what you're going to do. You're going to come out, you're going to say this, and then you're going to take a double drop kick from the Rock and Roll Express. Then Sandman's going to come out and beat the shit out of you with a cane. And so, I don't know what to say. I mean, it was a dream come true, and I kind of knew that they were testing me because, you enter any kind of a federation, you always enter on your back, and you exit on your back. That's the old school way. So I knew that I had to prove my worth by not wimping out and getting the crap not kicked out of me. And I did. Sandman hit me so hard in the stomach, it broke. Then he kicked me through the ropes, and I landed on my head. And I kind of staggered to the back, and one of the most wonderful gentlemen in the pro wrestling world, Bubba Ray Dudley, stood there, patted me on the back, and said, "Way to earn your stripes, kid."
Wow.
That's so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So my stomach literally looked, like I had swallowed like a large hot dog, and it was like just, anyway.
So you've been pretty active. I mean, it seems like on your social media, you're always going back and forth between, you know, PCW and Destiny Wrestling Organization and House of Hardcore.
Yep.
I mean, so kind of, it's been a little over a year since we've talked to you, so kind of just give us a brief fill-in on what you've been doing for the last year. And you've gone from Little Salt Lake City to, I mean, you're traveling across the country now.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that in pro wrestling, you can't be a 40-miler. You have to put yourself out there, and you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get noticed. And Frankie Kazarian, in one of the seminars at Cauliflower Alley Club, had said you need to go to every town, work as many different federations, big, small, and do as many different things as you can, because eventually you're going to find your niche, and then you're going to be able to tell people that I can do all of this. So following that, I've been working with Pacific Coast Wrestling. I weaseled my way into a position at FSW in Las Vegas, also with Mecca in Las Vegas. Still do stuff with Main Event in all over Texas. Picked up a gig now in Cleburne, Texas, the Rampage. Of course, House of Hardcore. And then there's a new federation starting up called Phoenix Championship Wrestling that I've been invited to represent Royce Isaacs, my fellow 1%er in Phoenix on September 1st. And so I literally just take the bookings, big, small. If you want me to come out, I can help your organization. I don't care if it's ring announcing, commentary, setting up the ring, tearing down the ring, heel manager, face manager. I don't care what I'm going to do for you. I guarantee if you book me, I will make your I will be at the very least an asset to your locker room, and I promise you I'll make the show better just with my attitude.
Well, MK, quickly, let me jump in here real quick, and because you mentioned Royce Isaac, and I was watching one of the WWE shows just a few weeks ago, and he was doing something backstage. I mean, I recognized him from some of the other independent shows that I've seen. And then with the stuff that's going on with Mecca, I mean, you've got Johnny Mecca, you've got Cage, you've got the Mac, you've got some of the bigger names in the independents that are going to be part of that mega event you're going to in September, isn't it?
Yeah, if there is ever a time since the late 90s and the Monday Night Wars to be in professional wrestling, it's now. And I think finally the WWE has recognized that the heart and soul of professional wrestling is independent professional wrestling. And the reason why the wrestling business fell on its butt once again after the death of ECW and WCW is because they relied too much on the talent that they would get some big yoked up guy or some ex-athlete and throw them in there. You got to work the indies. You got to work your way up through it. It's a psychology thing. And so, guys like Royce Isaacs, all these guys, all of my fellow indie guys that are out there, they're the heart and soul of independent professional, of professional wrestling in general. And look at what's going on with, the Mae Young Classic, with just everything.
So I have a question for you. You mentioned, when we've talked a lot about the independents and a few things like that. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot on social media and a lot in other places online and people being extremely critical of NXT, saying mm-hmm. that the WWE has created NXT to kill the indies. Tell me what you think about that, people. I'm sure you've heard people say that. Is that an accurate statement? Because I don't think that they're harming – are they harming the indies with NXT?
No, I don't think so at all. I think here's the way I see it. Is look at professional baseball. I've always likened professional wrestling to professional baseball. You have varying levels of professionals. So you've got the single A, the double A, the triple A, then you got the major leagues. And some people can go right out of college or high school right in the major leagues. That's just their makeup. Other people have to work their way up. And prior to this, there wasn't really a way there wasn't an in between an indie guy working in, you know, 1-2-3 USA and then the WWE. There was no intermediate. There was no way for him to hone his craft to become a main event guy in the WWE. It was almost an incredible stroke of luck that you would get noticed. So in my opinion, you're looking at NXT as like maybe the AAA. Of the pro wrestling world. So in my opinion, I think it's a good thing. I don't think that they're a diabolical group of people trying to kill the indies, because anybody who was brought up in professional wrestling in the past and Triple H and these guys were understands that you have to create something that's going to continue. You have to give back to the business something that's continue. And I think NXT is basically like a farm system for the major leagues.
Well, I like the analogy between wrestling and baseball, because you have to learn your craft, don't you, MK? I mean, there's nothing like experience when it comes to professional sports and sports
right.
entertainment.
No, it's just, think about this. Even like if you're a medical doctor, they don't just put a scalpel in your hand after school and throw you out there. You have a residency. You have to, you have this process of apprenticeship to learn your craft, because you can only learn so much. And that's what I think it is you learn so much. Do I know what it's like to be on Monday Night Raw? No. But if I were to ever go to NXT, I would have a sense of that, and I would add that to my tool bag.
We've been talking a lot, me and Dave. One thing we've tried on our podcast, and I've mentioned it to you before, is it doesn't really matter whether it's the independents, whether it's WWE, whether it's TNA or Impact or whatever they call themselves today. There has got to be some serious stuff going on backstage to make a show like this happen.
Unreal.
I wanted to see What, from your point of view, are some of the things that you see backstage that fans take for granted, or that the casual fan would never understand? And talk to us a little bit about the atmosphere at some of these shows backstage and things like that.
Well, what the biggest thing that opened my eyes up when I was, you know, you talk about going to House of Hardcore, is the talent that isn't seen out there performing, that is in the back, just as much a part of the show as the performers, such as the agents who agent the match, like, or the production personnel. Like, you'll have Matt Stryker, who isn't in front of the camera at all, but he's directed many of the House of Hardcore pay-per-views, shows, whatever you will. And so the tremendous amount of talent that is in the back that you never even see is there, that is directing and taking care of you. Additionally, you have people back there, like I said, the agents their purpose is to make sure the show flows as a whole, to take the bookers' overall ideas and make sure that there's no mistakes in the matches. And these guys are big name guys that are back there talking to you, making sure that you're doing things right. I mean, you know, I got to say, I have been taught so much by Kenny and Mondo of the Squad. They would take me aside. Let's hear your promo. Tweak it here, tweak it there. And so none of the fans see that. None of the fans see how much everybody helps each other in the back, and how many production personnel are big stars just doing their job.
Wow. Well, so Dave, why don't you chime in on this a little bit? Because you and I talk about this a lot on the podcast, as well as just whenever we talk to each other in person. You know, that there's so much in the booking and things like that that go on.
Yeah, MK, I was wondering about when you have an agent or a booker that is determining what matches and what the matchups are going to be. For something like the House of Hardcore, which is one of the bigger events, how far out do they go with their storylines and their booking?
Well, let me start with kind of something that was told to me. Let me just start by something that was kind of told to me by J.J. Dillon. And I'm not name dropping. I'm just doing it because people's got to understand where this comes from. I'm not saying that I know these people personally and they're my buddies. I'm merely stating that these are things that I've picked up along the way. So I want to clear that up. But J.J. Dillon told us in another seminar in Colorado, because that every match has to tell a story. Every show has to tell a story. And every run has to tell a story. And they all have to be coordinated. And that's professional wrestling. So for a company like Destiny Wrestling, we start in October, right after Day of Destiny, and we book to the next Day of Destiny. Okay? Wow. And, of course, we make tweaks. Of course, we do things, but we literally book a year out. House of Hardcore, I think overall, I don't book it. I don't know Tommy Dreamer on that level, but it seems like he knows what he's doing, six, seven shows out. And the traditional way of doing it is figuring out what your money shows are and working backwards, meaning what are my money matchups, and then working backwards. And then, of course, there's always going to be a guy that gets hurt. There's something. But basically, your main storyline, your main event storyline is pretty consistent. And so, you know, from your money show back, what's going to happen.
So when you talk about, like, money shows and stuff like that, you know, like, me and Dave have been to some of the shows in Salt Lake that, you know, one that comes to my mind is when Rey Mysterio came to Salt Lake with UCW Zero. And you were there. You had the opportunity to share the ring with him.
Yeah.
And so what is the advantage of having a big name like Rey Mysterio come to Salt Lake? Or what is the disadvantage? Or is it only positive?
Well, here's the thing. Is if it's booked correctly, the idea of bringing a big name, the idea of independent wrestling is to get your local guys over, get your local guys noticed. Now, if you have a series of shows with only local talent, the casual wrestling fan, the WWE fan, probably won't show up because they really don't care who MK is. I mean, honestly, let's just be honest. they don't know. They don't care. But you're banking on, if we can put a Rey Mysterio or a Raven or someone like that on our show, people will show up and sit through the show just to see them. Then they will notice an MK and go, that guy's cool. I like him, or he's a jerk. I hate him. I'm going to cut. And then they'll get involved in the show and then come to further shows because they had such a good time. So the advantage of bringing Rey Mysterio in, if it's booked correctly, is to get more people to look at that show and get the undercard over as that. So that when you show your next show, you're not paying thousands of dollars for a named talent. You just have your two main guys who they saw, in hopes that these people had such a great time that they come. Those are the advantages, okay? The disadvantages are you get the WWE fan-only mentality, and I'll explain that in a little bit, because there's two types of fans, wrestling fans and WWE fans. When that WWE fan mentality is, if I haven't seen them on TV, I don't want to see them. And so you throw out a name there, they come, and that's it. I've seen the guy that I came to see. I'm not spending any more money. I'd rather watch the WWE Network and not see live pro wrestling. That's the disadvantage. But The overall theory is to bring in an attraction to grab those casual wrestling fans or the WWE fans to your show, so that to put an eye on your local talent, so that you can then continue your storylines, get them interested in the storylines, get them interested in your product, so that your overall product can be better. And it works if it's done right.
Well, I'm just really starting to really get into the independents more and more. I watch a little bit of championship wrestling from Hollywood, where they recently had their a big event that went over 3 weeks. I can't remember the name of it, but they had the Reno Scum there, and they're awesome. I just love watching the Scum wrestle. I have for years. And then they get Bad Dude Tito, and they get the Mac, Willie Mac, they call him there, and they do a surprise heel change on him. You don't see that as much in the big leagues. I mean, you don't get those surprise changes as much because everybody, reads the cheat sheets and the dirt sheets, and they know what might be happening. But I think that's the beauty of the smaller shows, is you don't realize when they're really going to throw a curveball on you. And I think that's the great thing about the indies.
Well, and to be honest with you, you have a little bit more freedom, because you don't have so much at stake. I mean, Destiny Wrestling doesn't have a contract with USA Network that if we make a mistake and we're not going to lose a $1 billion contract, television contract, what I'm saying? And so, so someone like Impact or WWE is not going to have a bunch of heel turns or swerves, because if you're wrong, it could literally kill your product. And then, in 3 months down the line, you lose a television contract. So the indies have more freedom to do that.
So, MK, one quick question. Someone like yourself, that you've been so involved in sports throughout your entire life, and I hope your University of Utah football team does very well. I think they're ranked 23rd in the nation in the preseason polls.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, second in the Pac-12 South, and fifth overall in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to ask you about the people that are upcoming right now. You're working with so many of what I see on a limited basis. You work with so many people that have such tremendous upside. I mean, Hammerstone, you've got Pentagon. There's been a lot of talk about Pentagon maybe going to the WWE Training Center. Then you work with people like Johnny Mecca, Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, whatever you want to call him, wherever he's at. And then you see people like Brian Cage and the Mac. That has got to be really thrilling for you to be seeing this future being built right now.
What I've really enjoyed in my career is, I don't know if it was luck or fate or whatever, but I literally came up with most of these guys. And, went from working with these guys in 30 to 40 people venues to now working in House of Hardcore or Pacific Coast or PCW Ultra or things of that nature. And so it's really been awesome for me to see these people have so much success. For me, I was so excited to see Willie Mack become the Twitch TV champion, because I've worked with him. You know, like I said, I remember working with him at Cauliflower Alley Club, where literally no one knew who he was. He was just an indie guy from California. And you know, like I said, Brian Cage, I mean, it's been wonderful. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, I liken it to when you start on a team and the team starts getting successful, and as more and more people become successful on that team, it really means that we're all successful and the independent wrestling is successful. And so to me, it has been exciting, and I'm so happy for these guys' success.
So, tell us a little bit about who, I know you've, in the past, you've managed Bully Ray and, yep, and some pretty big names. So tell us a little bit about who you're working with now and who you think, is an upcoming, you know, up and coming star, and who you see, you know, get your crystal ball out here. Let's see, look into the future a little bit and see what these guys have to, what you see their future as.
Well, the last House of Hardcore show stateside that was here that we worked at, I mean, in the United States, Tommy Dreamer put me with OVE. And I think the Chris brothers and Sammy Callahan are just the most amazing talent. They're great guys. They get it. They understand the philosophy. They understand the psychology. They're wonderful guys in the back. And I really see a tremendous future for those guys. I mean, they are everything positive and nothing negative. I can't say enough good things about OVE. You know, like I said, the Chris brothers and Sammy Callahan. I love Sammy Callahan. I love working with OVE. Those guys, for one. We mentioned, you know, Royce Isaacs and Terrell Nelson, the one percenters. Again, guys, tremendous upside. Big guys, muscular guys, look the part, understand how to use a manager. And then I've got a new group of guys called the Prophets of Destruction in Future Stars of Wrestling in Las Vegas. You've got gorgeous Gary Galaxy, who was Kid Vegas. You know, you've got Beast. You've got Tyrex, really good guys. You know, I can't say enough. I mean, right now those are the main guys I'm working with. And, on kind of a side note, that's what's kind of great about the position that Tommy Dreamer's put me in, is since I'm not really affiliated with any one group, I've got to work with Nick Aldis. I've got to work with Shane Douglas. I've got to work with Joey Mercury. I've got to work with all these guys, and sometimes all on the same show. But OVE, I'd say, you know, those OVE and the one percenters are the guys that just tremendous athletes, wonderful guys. And then, you know, of course, in PCW Ultra, War Beast, I mean, what can you say about, you know, Brody King and Fatu and Joe?
That's some
and
big
Joseph,
names there on the independent scene, man. I mean, you're talking Nick Aldis, who's going to be part of All In, going against Cody, in Chicago and on September the 1st. And, one of the one percenters is he's going to be taking on the Hangman Adam Page. I was just looking at the lineup today. You have just really have worked with some really amazing people. That's got to make you really proud.
You know, it's humbling, because, you know, I don't pick who I work with. I wish I was MK sometimes, because, you know, the MK Bandit picks and chooses who he works with, convinces him to be evil and do his bidding. But that's really not how it works. I've worked with a lot of good guys, a lot of good bookers that have given me the opportunity to work with these wonderful guys. And I'm just happy to be a small part of their career. And I'm just really humbled and feel great. I mean, Chad Thomas from Texas, he's the champion of Destiny Wrestling, you know, great guy. I was put with him. I mean, I'm just really humbled. I'm just happy. I'm lucky. I mean, honestly, I really feel like the door was cracked open. I snuck in, and I keep waiting for someone to say, "Hey, you don't belong here. Get out of here."
He's got his pass on. Wait, that's
right.
Not his.
Hey,
that's
can I ask you a quick
ago.
Question about the role of a manager? Do you see that coming back with the success of someone like the Advocate, Paul Heyman, Selena Vega in SmackDown Live? Are you seeing a little bit more of that managerial role coming back now because – you need that other person to maybe set up that storyline a little bit better?
I hope so. I mean, I honestly, you know, and this is not a rip on any one person I work with. So I want to say that to anybody that I work with, anybody that I'm going to work with, I'm not ripping on anybody. I'm just merely saying that because managers are such a specialty item, a lot of workers today are not brought up to use a manager. And so the role is kind of dying because people don't understand how to use me. It's almost like, you know, when in the old school matches, when they would tease the brass knuckles or the roll of quarters, and then at the end, the finish was always, you know, the guy gets clubbed with the brass, you know, something happened. And so you would tease that the whole match. That's how you use a manager. You use him to get your heat. And then eventually he either kills the face or he gets killed himself and everybody cheers. And people aren't using it like that. And I've been fortunate to work with a lot of good guys and good agents. Sin Bodhi is one who knows how to use a manager. Tommy Dreamer, again, knows how to use a manager. Bubba Ray Dudley knows how to use a manager. But a lot of the indie guys that I get put with, not recently, but I haven't put with, don't understand, don't know how to use the manager. So I'm afraid it's a dying role. And what I'm hoping is that back in the day, managers were old workers, or not old workers, or workers that were injured or something like that, and they transitioned. J.J. Dillon was a tremendous, accomplished wrestler, became a manager. And so they understood the game. And my fear is that because the role is dying, that there's not a lot of indie workers that are going to understand what a manager does, so that if they ever make it the big time and they become agents or like that. So I'm kind of afraid I'm a dinosaur. I hope the role comes back, but I honestly think that, you know, the end of the line is probably Paul Heyman.
I saw somewhere, and I don't know where it is. I've searched all over the internet, and I don't know where I saw it, but I saw somebody, they had tagged you in a post, or they had, or it was something, and they said that the MK Bandit is the Paul Heyman of the indies. And so, dude, that, I mean, I would imagine that's got to be something that's pretty cool to say that you are up on that league.
You know, to be just mentioned in the same name as Paul Heyman is amazing, but honestly, I am nowhere near a Paul Heyman. Those comments are wonderful, and but honestly, I kind of fear when people say that it brings it's an insult to Paul Heyman.
No way, dude. No way, absolutely not. How do you fit all this into your life?
You know, it's a tremendous amount of work. I mean, it is a tremendous amount of work. And that's the thing that you have to be. That's the thing that about managers today at the indies. And I'm not saying every manager out there but me. I'm just merely saying there's a lot of indie managers out there that think, well, I can't train to be a professional wrestler, so I'm just going to put a funny hat on there, go out and swear a lot, and I'm going to get over. And that's how they get their heat. I am literally all day, every day, breaking down everyday lifetime situations and trying to turn them into pro wrestling angles, or trying to turn – I'm thinking about it constantly. And so I have to dedicate – literally – everything to pro wrestling, and the rest is detailed. And I mean, that is, and so I'm at the gym almost every day working to look the part. I'm thinking about it. My engineering career is there because it was there before, but in reality, I want to take pro wrestling to take over. And so I fit it in by force of will. It just has to be, because I won't be denied. I will succeed.
That's incredible. And now I want you to make sure that you get some Kiss storylines involved in some of this, because you are the biggest Kiss fan I have ever met, man. You love some Kiss now.
And in fact, tomorrow night I'm going to Ace Frehley and Alice Cooper. But yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I think in terms of that all the time, about how would I take this situation and turn it into a pro wrestling angle. I mean, I watch SVU, Special Victims Unit, because there's a lot of the bad guy attorneys, or I should say defense attorneys for the bad guys. I get a lot of my promos from their speeches. And so So when I see Kiss and I see, you know, things like that happening, I'm literally constantly thinking, how can I work this in there? And maybe one day, maybe one day.
Well, I do have a Demon action figure from the old WCW days. So
that is so awesome. You know what was so weird about that is that could have worked. It was just, and I'm not saying I could have done any better, but if you really think about the way that they did that, how that they were originally going to come out with four different wrestlers. They were going to actually have a faction of Kiss guys. You know what I mean? I don't think they let it breathe. I don't think they gave it enough of a chance. I think they pulled the plug too soon, because think about all the things that they've done in pro wrestling that initially didn't quite work, but as they saw the crowd react to certain things, they would focus on the positives and de-accentuate the negatives. And then all of a sudden here comes this character or this faction that comes out of what looked like initially a mistake. So I wish we could have seen what that would have done if they had gone the full route and brought four guys out, each representing a member of KISS.
You know, I think it's interesting, MK, that you were talking about trying to get TV series like the SUV, the series that you're watching, and how you try to get that into the storylines that you're doing. That's part of the entertainment business, is keeping your eyes open and trying to get that something that people are talking about and getting that into that entertainment outlook. And that's something I try to do on my radio show each and every day. So I'm really interested in seeing, hearing you say that. That was really incredible.
Well, it's you know, Shakespeare for the masses. That's what pro wrestling is. And so pop culture really kind of has to drive what the masses see and pay attention to.
So as we approach the, obviously summer's winding down before we know it, we're going to blink our eyes and it's going to be the end of the year. So what's in the future for the MK Bandit, the one and only True Heel? What can we look forward to seeing?
I really love what they're doing with me in House of Hardcore. You're going to see more of that. And as always, you know, as a character gets kind of played out, the character morphs. I mean, when you really think about guys like Fonzie from ECW, you know, he started out as a ref, became a heel ref, then he was a manager, and you know, so I see myself, you know, I would have never seen myself, you know, I've been in House of Hardcore over a year now, and a year and a half ago, I would have never seen myself playing a government federal director guy, and so I kind of see things coming up. I see people with the mind like Tommy Dreamer picking up on what I can do for them and turning what I can do into something positive. Because there's so many great minds out there. I mean, you know, Scott D'Amore, wonderful guy, great mind for wrestling. You know, Tommy Dreamer, and they're out there making wrestling better at that level. And so I really hope that someone can notice what I'm doing and can kind of pick up on all of the repertoire I have and move me forward. And if that doesn't happen, well, I'm going to continue doing what I do best, and that's travel to a show and give my best effort and just continue keeping pro wrestling alive and keeping the pro wrestling managers alive.
Wow. Well, sounds like you are really motivated and really have a drive and are very passionate about this industry. And, you know, there's not a lot of people, you know, actually I think there is a lot of people who are very interested in pro wrestling, but I think there's a lot of closet fans out there.
I think that, you know, for so long, well, here's the thing. It became when you really think about in the 90s, 80s, it was a phenomenon. It kind of fell on its butt in the early 90s. But then in the late 90s with the Monday Night Wars, it became acceptable to become a pro wrestling fan again. It became acceptable to sit at the water cooler and say, did you watch this last night? Nitro, Raw, blah, blah, blah. I think we're entering a time of that again. And so that's, you know, I mean, I love pro wrestling so much that I can't wait for that to happen, because everything's in cycles. And I really believe, like you said, a lot of pro wrestling people, you know, as many people that laugh at pro wrestling, every single person that you meet has a pro wrestling story or says, I remember when I used to do this. And so there's a lot of people out there that they may not say they're fans, but they are fans. And it's going to come back. And I mean, you know, you know, the thing about me is I don't just do this. I live this. This is my life. And I'm just waiting to see the pro wrestling get back to that point again that it was in the 90s, where it was just on every news channel, on everything. And it's going to get there.
I agree. You know, and I think, you know, even myself and Dave, it's not super easy for us guys that don't live right in Salt Lake or right close to big metropolitan areas to go to some of these shows. But, you know, I've taken my 5-year-old and we've gone to some local shows in Salt Lake, and we've made the drive up there, and I've met Dave, you know, in Salt Lake. And I think that's pretty cool for that I hope a lot more people will start to do that they'll see not just the WWE, but as professional wrestling as something that they can fit into. You know, it's like everybody goes to a hockey game or everybody goes to a basketball game, but, you know, you don't hear, oh, I'm going to a professional wrestling match. I mean, I about get laughed out of the arena but work and things like that when I say, yeah, I'm going to a professional wrestling match tonight, you know. And
but yet, and yet those deep down same inside, people they're all Harry jealous.
Yep. I just think they're all jealous.
I think so too. I think, you know, here's the thing I want to say about professional wrestling that not a lot of people have figured out or understand. The overall message of professional wrestling is very positive. When you really look at all the negative things that are happening in sports and looking at what is happening now with Urban Meyer, you know, and these type of things, you know, professional sports almost by nature are very negative and focus on the negative. Professional wrestling, the heel always gets his butt kicked. Good always overcomes the evil. I mean, it may take a long time, but at the end of the day, the overall point is to make the fans go home happy. And it's a fairy tale that always has a happy ending, and it's always very positive, because the role models that we put out there as faces always are overcoming superhuman odds by nature of their pure goodness. That's the nature of how the face heel psychology is set up, and why pro wrestling has been so popular and has been around for, you know, 100 plus years is because of that. And so if people could see, you know, I would rather take my child to a pro wrestling match where the morals that I want my children to learn are actually coming to life in theater form right in front of my children. If they could see that's so much better than taking them to a movie that's so much negative, or taking them to a professional sporting event where there's so much negative, I think more and more people will recognize how great professional wrestling really is.
I couldn't have said it better myself, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Dave, so what else you got on the – what else would you like to talk to MK about? I mean, I'm so glad you took the time out of your evening to come on the podcast. We've been trying to make this happen for a little while, and I know that you're super busy, and we're all involved with our own lives, and so – I just want to tell you thank you for taking the time to help a small podcast like us out, to help us grow and to help us do something that we enjoy.
Yeah. Well, we're nothing without you. I mean, honestly, you were as much a part of professional wrestling as I am, because without you guys promoting, without you guys talking about wrestling, we're not going to have John Cena's of the world get to where they are. You're not going to have me getting to where I'm going.
That's amazing. Well, MK, thank you so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. I'll let you know that the radio station I work for in Logan, Utah, heard our little podcast, and they said, hey, why don't you put it on the Cool 103.9 webpage? So now we've got another platform that we're available on my radio station webpage, and I thought that was pretty interesting of my bosses to let us do that, and I really appreciate that.
That's awesome. Just make sure you send me or message me the link and all that stuff, because I want to be able to share each and every one of your shows on my social media, because that's awesome. That's amazing.
Well, it's you. Anytime you feel like you want to come on with us, you're more than welcome. You're a great guy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've had the guys from SteelReelToUs.com on with us recently, and we try to help out the independents while still talking about the big guys too. So thank you so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash.
Thanks again, and I hope you have a great night, and good luck with everything that the one and only true heel has in his future. I wear your shirt with pride. Dude.
Awesome. Thank you. Let me take just a minute to put over a couple of things I'm doing.
Sure.
You can get me on at the MK Bandit. Matthew Robles is my name on Facebook. We're going to be performing August 18th at Destiny Wrestling Organization, Albuquerque, New Mexico. www.holdmyticket.com. Get tickets. September 1st, Phoenix Championship Wrestling. Then September 7th, PCW Ultra. But again, guys, I want to thank you for doing what you do, because your role is super important. And pro wrestling in general is a team. And really, I mean this from the heart. Thank you for allowing me to get on here and just talk like this, because I really enjoy it. And thank you for doing what you do and keeping pro wrestling alive.
Hey, MSR.
Yay, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.